Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And, oh, there's been so much news. Yes, you've probably heard about it. I live in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, which usually doesn't make the news, but only for good things, beautiful things. But lately, the biggest bust ever in our province for a puppy mill. 66 dogs and almost as many, well, about half dogs, half puppies, but 66 animals were rescued from one location. And they were Bernese Mountain Dogs and Sheep Dogs and, breaks my heart to say, Standard Poodles and Wheatons and all kinds of designer hybrids. And, oh my goodness, these dogs need care. It's just terrible, deplorable conditions. No sanitation, matted fur, several animals to a cage. The usual puppy mill situation. But the thing is, you can do something about it. You know, if you're buying a purebred puppy, and I know many people want a purebred, you want to know what you're getting. Maybe you have allergies. Maybe there's a reason you want that poodle. Okay, that's okay. But you need to meet the parents. You need to meet the owners. You need to check out the place and meet the mama dog. Absolutely meet the mama dog. If they introduce you to a female dog that looks related, but is obviously not nursing, that's not the mama. Meet the mama dog. You need to see that she's kept well, in good health, good personality, and also that she's, by meeting her, you can see her disposition. If she's the type of animal that doesn't like to be touched or is afraid or head shy or hand shy, she's teaching that to her puppies. And if you ask to see vaccine proofs and health records, they should be more than happy to show you. They should be proud to show you. They paid for those things. They paid for the hip tests if they did them, right? So don't be afraid to ask as many questions as they're asking you. And if you go see a breeder and the place is dirty or they want to meet you somewhere else like a Starbucks or something like that, walk away. You need to see the mom and you need to see where they're raised. Okay, well, I'm going to talk more about that throughout the show because I don't want to cut in on Joelle's time. And Joelle rescued Sadie, and we're going to talk all about that, savingsadie.com. Welcome to the show, Joelle.
Well, thank you so much because Sadie and I so appreciate being here. And Sadie, well, she has just such a phenomenal story. Do you mind if I tell you a little bit about it?
Oh, please do. We're all puppy dog ears here.
Okay, Sadie is a dog that was found in the mountains of Kentucky a couple of years ago. She had a bullet hole right between the eyes and one in the back, and it was put there after she had yet another litter of puppies. Some kind people found her, and through a series of events, she was transported, first of all, to West Chicago in Illinois, and then her end was a Starfish Animal Rescue, which is in West Chicago, and then she was transported to a no-kill shelter in Wisconsin where I found her. And all I was doing there was donating blankets and pillows. When I walked out, I saw her. I said, hey, she's so cute. What's her story? And they told me, and I was just heartbroken. I said, hey, could I take her to the doctor? And they said, sure, if you pay for it. The story continues. I took her to the first doctor that said, well, look, we took x-rays. There is a bullet and shrapnel in her back. Took her to the next doctor who said, look, she's fecally incontinent, urinary incontinent, and can't walk. What do you think? And I thought about it for about a nanosecond, and I said, let me think about that. And I took Sadie home. I took her and put her in the garage for the night because Sadie was a mess. Every time you picked her up, everything flew out of her, all of her bodily fluids. The next day, I took her to a holistic vet near my house, and Dr. Jody said, let's give her a chance, and that's where the story really starts. After that, Sadie gets absolutely every therapy known to man, and so many people out there just send us new things and cutting-edge therapy. Sadie gets 2 to 3 hours of rehab a day. We did remove the bullet from between her eyes, but the bullet and shrapnel in her back is too deeply embedded to remove, so that's still there. Sadie doesn't walk like a normal dog, and we are still working on her legs to get strong again because she's got so much nerve and muscle damage. But the good thing is, in some way, Sadie got the person back that injured her. Because Sadie is now known in 15 countries. She's known across the United States. She does so many things. She's on the front cover of 7 publications. She's continually on radio, TV. She's going to a black tie event with the governor. Do you believe that?
Wow.
She's got her logo on the back of a canine unit here in the city. I mean, she does so many phenomenal things. Sadie's on a mission. And I do have to tell you that Sadie was saved for a reason. Mm-hmm. Sadie teaches children. We go a lot around and we do a lot of traveling to schools and libraries and things like that. And she teaches children to think about what they can do and not what they can't do, just like Sadie does. She doesn't walk like a normal dog, but she can jump really high and do 10 high tens, I call them, instead of high fives in the air. She's funny. She's animated. She's a sweet, sweet dog, and she is just absolutely on a mission. She talks to children about bullying. She's for anti-bullying, and she's with so many good, good companies that teach messages. So she is all over the place. Her children's book, Sadie and the Superstars, teaches just that.
So it's nobody could silence her, huh? She's still getting the message out.
Well, she's amazing. Now, the big, big news, and we just am signing a book deal with our publisher, Citadel, in New York for Sadie's life story. And that'll be out in the fall of 2017.
Wow. Okay, well, tell everybody, we only have 60 seconds left, so please just tell everybody how they can hear more about Sadie.
Sadie's all over social media, SavingSadie.com, Facebook Saving Sadie. Come on in, learn more about her story, and let us know what we can do for you.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us, Joelle, and everyone, SavingSadie.com. Check it out. On Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, we'll be coming back with a question for you. Did you feed the dog? Why am I asking that? Well, we'll ask Jim all about that when we get back on Smart Animal Talk.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And
you know that I need you too.
Hello! You're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Did you feed the dog? Hey, Jim, our next guest. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Deb. Good to be here.
I got a question for you. Did you feed the dog?
Well, we don't have to ask that question anymore in our house.
No,
we were asking
you don't.
No, we don't. We were asking that question every morning and every evening. We've got a house of 5, you know, it's my wife and myself and 3 kids, and every morning someone would be bellowing through the house, did you feed the dog? So we took it upon ourselves to come up with a little device to answer that question, and now you can visibly see whether or not somebody fed the dog, whether or not they're in the house or not. And it's actually brought some peace and quiet to our house, and the dogs are not getting overfed or underfed, so it's working quite well.
Okay, so there's the thing, right? If you look at my golden retriever at any time of the day and you say to her, did you miss supper? Are you hungry? She will give you the hungriest look. She will show you that she has not eaten. She missed meals. It doesn't matter if someone just fed her. So how does your device work so you don't overfeed those dogs?
It's a simple analog device. It's not an app or anything sophisticated like that. It's a little device that's about the size of a double wall switch. On your wall, and you mount it next to the food bowl. Imagine down the left-hand side, there's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and there's 2 columns for AM and PM and these little slider devices that sort of resemble the on-off switch for your Wi-Fi when you're turning Wi-Fi on and off on your phone. but you physically slide it to the left and it turns green, and you slide the other ones all back at the beginning of the week and start over. So it's very simple. It looks very nice. It complements any home's decor. And it's, like I said, it's working quite well and bringing a little bit of quiet to the home.
So what if someone has more than one dog? Can they do this?
You could have more than one device, or if you feed the dogs at the same time, it's not dog-specific. It's more task-specific, whether or not you fed the dogs or dog. It works either way.
Okay. All right. Do you have how can people get it?
They can visit our website at didyoufeedthedog.co. It's a product that sells for $9.95. Or if you're in Northern California, we've already got it into about 13 different independent and small chain pet stores in Northern California up in the Bay Area. So we're working to get it into more stores, but right now it's available on the web at didyoufeedthedog.co.
And what kind of dogs do you have that inspired this?
We have a 11-year-old boxer, and the real incentive to do this was that she began needing thyroid medicine, so we wanted to make sure we weren't missing any meals or double dosing her. So she's the inspiration behind it. And we also have her partner in crime, a little black and white King Charles Cavalier, and just like your dog, if you ask them if they've been fed, they lie to your face, and that's actually our tagline on the product is, if asked, dogs will lie, and these two are top-notch in that area.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, no, and certain dogs will lie the other way. Okay, now, to someone who owns a Golden Retriever or a Labrador Retriever, it's hard to believe that not all dogs are gluttonous, ravenous, eat everything they can, eat everything that was ever considered food to anything on the earth kind of animals, because some dogs really aren't like that. Standard poodles, in fact, you almost have to, it's like a negotiation. They'll undereat and then sort of see what you'll do to make it better. And they kind of manipulate you each, I'll hold out, I'll look real hungry, I'll lose some weight, maybe she'll top it up. You know, and they're kind of hard to feed. You can free feed four standard poodles all at the same time, and none of them will overeat, and there'll be food left over because each is being ever so polite to make sure he leaves some in his dish for the other one. It's quite amazing, because Golden Retrievers, there's no way. You have to segregate them all every time. And Border Collies, which is kind of interesting, and some of the working dogs like Australian Shepherds, if they've eaten and then they anticipate work, they'll actually empty their stomach. They'll actually throw up so that they can work better. So if they know they're going to be worked, they'll refuse food. You could try and put it in front of them, but they won't eat it. And my experience with mating dogs, stud dogs, is it's very hard to keep weight on them when they know that there's a female in season nearby that they're going to have access to. They just stop caring. They won't eat at all. They'll go days without food. It's like you sit there putting meat in your hands, trying to get them to eat. But that's not true of all dogs. Most dogs will lie to you and act like they're starving and drool and carry on. And all of the spaniels are like this, particularly if they've been rewarded for begging, because they don't really see the question, are you hungry, the way we do. They see it as, oh, can you do that begging trick that always produces food? They say, okay, yeah, I got it. So do you have beggars in your home, Jim?
They're the best moochers you've ever seen. They give you the stat eyes, and they sit together and take turns mooching. I think they practice. They're quite good at it. But yeah, like you're saying, I think the majority of dogs are gluttons that way. I think we'd relish the idea of having a dog that had a little bit of discipline, but we don't.
So, food discipline.
Necessity was the mother of invention on this one.
Well, did they change their behavior at all since the device? Do they stop trying to trick you with the sad eyes at the doorway? No, they still try.
and we actually mounted the device high enough, so if they ever thought about trying to slide the sliders back, we'd cut them off on that end.
Do you think they'd figure that out? I don't know. That's pretty subtle. You never know. Maybe by accident. Maybe.
Some dogs are smart, but it's more to help the people in the home. My son would always go off to school, and I'd have to text him, did you feed the dogs? Did you feed the dogs? And now, whether he leaves the house or whether I leave the house, someone can just look at this device, and the question's been answered. So it's, as I said, simple, and it's working quite well.
Well, you've got kids. They're sharp. They remember. But some of us don't remember if we fed the dog. You know, as you get older, you can ask that question. You look at each other. Well, I don't know. Did you feed the dog? Well, I'm not sure. Go feel the dish, you know, because, yeah, it gets so routine. It's automatic. You don't really remember. In my case, when I'm having to deal with meds, I just had one dog spayed. And so she needed pretty strict meds, painkiller and antibiotic, different things. You know, I definitely chart it. I don't want to be sitting there going, wait a minute, did I give her the antibiotic at breakfast? No, no, no. Always chart your meds for your dogs if you're listening to this. So I want to ask you, we have to go pretty quick, but I want to ask you, Jim, I'm just curious. How often is your boxer mistaken for a pit bull? Not often? Lots? How often does that happen?
Not often. Oh, good. She was the runt of the litter, so she's got a small head and she's got a smaller body, and she's sort of a petite-sized boxer, but... never mistaken for anything other than a boxer.
Oh, nice. Well, that's a load off your mind. Because when a boxer gets mistaken for a pit bull and it comes racing along with its lips waving in the wind at the dog park and everybody kind of shies away, the boxer gets its feelings hurt so badly because it just wants to play. All right, everybody. We're coming to the end of the show. So go to didyoufeedthedog.co. We'll be back with the next segment. And we're going to be talking to Charles. And I had Charles as my guest a couple weeks back talking about horses and horse rescue. But he let it slip that he used to be with the foxhound and the fox hunt and some of the hound dogs at work in Dallas. And so I said, can you come back on the show and talk dogs with me? And so he'll be here next. So we're going to find out all about those working dogs on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I was talking about the puppy mill bust. And partly why I'm talking about it is because some of these puppies, and okay, so there were 66 dogs altogether, including puppies. About half were puppies, 34 were puppies, 32 were adults. They are Old English Sheepdogs, Bernese Mountain Dogs, Standard and Miniature Poodles, Soft-Coated Wheaton Terriers, Portuguese water dogs, and all combinations of those. And so, you know, woodles and doodles and this type of thing, as well as sheepadoodles, you know, possibly. Anyway, if you've bought a dog and it came out of a place in Langley and it fits that description in the last year or two, well, the local SPCA would really like to hear from you. And so that's why I'm talking about it right now. 1-855-622-7722. Don't worry, you're not in trouble. They're not going to take your dog away, but you probably did inadvertently, unknowingly, buy a dog from a puppy mill, and they're now looking for evidence. Two of the people are accused. It's possible that they'll have 5 years in jail, $75,000 penalty, and lifetime ban on owning animals. The problem is there's only two implicated, and they know that there's far more people. These people move farms. They have fake buyers come buy puppies from legitimate places. So I'm really interested in helping, obviously. And if you know anything, if you have a puppy or you tried to get a puppy of this type from there, then, you know, you might have valuable information. 1-855-622-7722. All right. Well, I'm glad the pups are saved. 66 desperate dogs saved from the Langley puppy mill. And the SPCA is doing a great job with them. And if I can help, I'm sure they'll let me know, as they already have. Okay, so let's go on with our next guest. We said we were going to be talking about the foxes and the hunting and the hound dogs. We're going to have to wait on that. It appears our guest is out with his horses. Can't come to the radio right now. As you know, he runs a gigantic horse rescue sanctuary with a lot of hay to move and animals to take care of. So we'll have to check in with him on another day. But right now we've got Linda Allison coming to us from Precious Pets Transport. And she wants to help you prepare your pets. She wants to help you do the right thing. So when something happens, you know what to do and your pet can be rescued or transported. So welcome to the show. Welcome, Linda.
Hi. Thank you, Deborah. I appreciate you having me on.
Yes, a precious pet transport. So this is the opposite of the puppy mill treatment. This is when you cherish your dog and you want it to travel well, or when you get into trouble and you want your dog to be safe, right? What can you do for your pet to make it safe?
Today's topic is about crating and when to get your pet ready for travel. One of the main things is obviously your pet needs to travel in a crate. And a lot of people don't realize that taking the time ahead of time to crate your pet or to get them acclimated to their crate actually makes for their travel a lot easier. It takes the stress out of their travel, especially if they're going, if you happen to be getting them ready for a flight. Taking the time 2 weeks ahead of time for them to get them used to the crate itself. The other issue, obviously, is how do you determine the size that your crate that your dog needs to travel, the crate that your dog needs to travel in.
A lot of times people go too small when they're traveling because they want to pay less or carry less. And when they buy a crate for training, a lot of times they go too big. So how do they decide what the right size is?
Well, especially for the airlines, because if you don't have the proper size for the proper size kennel for your dog, when you get to the airline, you will get turned away. And I have seen this a couple of times. So what you're going to want to do is stand your dog and measure from the floor to the highest point of their body, which is usually the knob of their head or the tips of their ears. And then you need to add 2 inches on top of that. But it's not only just the size, the height of the crate. You have to measure the length of your dog also, because some dogs are longer. If you get into like a basset hound, obviously they're short and squatty, or your little dachshunds, they're short and squatty, but they're longer. And if you don't take into the account the length of your dog, which is supposed to be from the root of the tail to the tip of the nose, and then also add from the elbow to the tip of the paw, that helps give you the length so that your dog has plenty of length also in the crate. But they do have to be able to stand comfortably, turn around, and lay down comfortably inside the kennel. And I tell you one thing that I tell all of our new drivers, and I know that this sounds crazy, but one of the things I ask all of our new drivers to do is crawl into a kennel. The 500 series kennels are big enough for humans. Crawl into one of those, and you get a real quick bird's eye view of what a dog is feeling when they're inside that kennel. So if you're trying to stuff a dog that's too big into a kennel, and you see them panting and stressing, and that really will set a dog off in a heartbeat. And if you're trying to fly them, or you know, get them even to the vet, if they're in something that's too tight, then they're obviously going to be really upset, and they're not going to want to get in the kennel with you. But taking the time to get them acclimated, like I said, 2 weeks in advance, you start let them sleep in it at night. That's one of the biggest things. A kennel really should not feel like a punishment to a dog. I know my dog, I have her kennel, even when I take her with me on the road when I'm hauling other people's pets. There are times I still make her get into a crate just so that it gives her time for comfort. It actually becomes more like a den to them than it does a punishment. It becomes their safe haven.
Well, I think that's really important, because not only do you have planned travel and planned reasons to put a dog in a crate, there's also emergencies. There's also fires and floods and times when you just can't get at your dog, or times when your dog has to go to the vet no matter what. He just has to, and he has to be comfortable there. And you don't want him stressing out because he's just never been in a cage before, on top of whatever else is really stressing him out, like his broken leg or the flood or the sirens or the, you know, prefab shelter. You want him to know that a little kennel, the kennel that fits him, the one he's used to, is safe. And so then when you take him on a trip, or you send him on a trip, or you have an emergency, that part is dealt with. He goes, good, this is where I go. Because a lot of times when they're doing rescues, like what happened in Katrina, it's a difference between surviving or not. The dog who will go in a kennel properly and peacefully and sit there quietly is going to survive. The dog who bolts or bites or takes off or refuses it, probably not. So, you know, limited resources, limited space. Do your dog a favor. Teach him to love his kennel. And I'm going to talk more about that in the next segment. We're running out of time. Thank you very much for joining us from PreciousPetsTransport.com. Thank you. Thank you, Linda.
It was a pleasure today. Thank you.
Okay, everyone, stay tuned. We'll be back next to talk a little bit about that, kennel training, crate training, and a little bit about dental with Becky Starr. Stay tuned on Smart Animal Talk.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And right before the break, I was running down how to teach your dog to like the kennel and why. Well, you want your dog to like a cage, a crate, or a kennel, some kind of enclosed pen with a door, because sometimes he gets sick and needs to be in something like that at the vet. And sometimes you have emergencies, things you can't count on, like earthquakes or fires, and your dog needs to be able to go into a kennel, able to go into a pen. So other times you might get sick and someone might take your dog to an actual boarding kennel. Again, you want your dog to be really used to it. When you travel suddenly, or even when you know you're going to be traveling, it's nice if your dog's already really happy and relaxed in his crate or kennel. So that's why you do it. There's so many times in his life where he's going to need it. And like I was saying before, the difference between some of those dogs in Katrina who survived and some of them who didn't was all about whether they bolted when they were trying to get them into a kennel or not. It's so frustrating for the workers who are trying so hard to rescue these animals. And they're trying and they're trying and they're trying. And the dog sees a kennel. He's never been in one before. And he flips out of his collar or he bites the person trying to help him. And there's not much they can do because there's 20 more waiting and maybe only 20 kennels. So you want your dog to have the best chances and be the most relaxed in these situations. And that's why start feeding your dog once in a while in the kennel. Throw some toys in there, make it a game, teach a command, throw a treat in there. Don't use it when he's in trouble. Use it when it's part of fun. And before long, your dog will like to go in there. He'll go in there for just on command, or he'll go in there because you've thrown a treat in, or because he's looking for something. He'll go in there just to get cuddled, just to get brushed. That's how you do it. Okay, so now we've got Becky Starr, and we're going to talk about teeth. Welcome to the show, Becky.
Hi, all. Hi, Deb. How everything's great over there today. Nice to be here again.
It's nice to have you. I know we're in dental month, and I guess it's not just teeth, but doggy dental we're talking about today.
Doggy dental. Well, and cat dental. So basically, you know, our pet dental hygiene. You know, we've all heard about it. We've all been told the importance of it. But it's reported that 65% of all pet owners do not maintain their pet's oral health. And that by the age of 3, 80% of dogs, 70% of cats will have some type of oral disease because we are not doing our job. This is one of those topics, you know, I always love to bring up and remind people that our pets are not in the wild. They are domesticated. You and I have now become their mother nature. It is up to us to take care of their oral health the same way that you take care of your own human family oral health.
The wolf jaw and the dog jaw are just not the same. So
yeah.
The wolf jaw is 8 times stronger than any dog jaw by any measure. And so there's no comparison. When the wolf is crushing bones, he's working his teeth in ways your dog isn't. Don't even think he's getting it from his kibble. That's not going to happen, right?
That's right. In fact, they've proven in many studies that people think that kibble clean your pet's teeth. It actually does not. It creates a movement in the teeth. They call it a rocking that can actually loosen teeth, make them crack. They create a force on the teeth that is not healthy, and they do not clean your teeth, just to throw that in there about kibble. So how do we deal with this? What do we know? Dental problems can cause a lot of pain to our pets that you're not even aware of, because you always train people about, you know, how pets don't show pain. They're inclined to do that genetically because it makes them vulnerable. So many times your pet is never going to show you pain. You have to watch for these things. And the big thing I think I have learned over the years is, you know, we think about bad breath or dirty teeth, or they just don't look so pretty white to when they smile. But dental problems have an adverse systematic, meaning whole body effect. They cause problems to major organs such as the lung, kidneys, and a primary contributor to heart disease, which I don't know that a lot of people know this. But there's a lot of studies out there on how, because of this bacteria and toxicity that goes in under the gum and into the bloodstream, actually cause a whole body effect. So when you're in the habit of, and starting, of course, the best young is, you know, always sticking your hand in your pet's mouth. When you're sitting there petting them, get your hands in there just so they get used to the feel that you're in there and they're not bothered by it. And what you want to look at is you want to always check for cracked teeth, misaligned teeth. Dental problems start above the gum. So when you start seeing kind of a yellow-brown color, more on the back molars, more than in the front, your teeth can look nice and white. That's plaque. When the plaque hardens, that then turns into tartar. When that is not cleaned, that tartar travels under the gum. Then you have what's called gingivitis. Once that inflammation starts with the gingivitis under the gum, it starts pulling the gum support away from the teeth. It opens things up for bacteria, infection, toxicity, and it begins to loosen the teeth, which then goes into periodontitis, which is serious and reversible. And then you happen to go to your doggy dental, and they're going, we have to pull 6 teeth out today because they're all loose. So the bills are high, and the payback is not worth it for as quickly as you could maintain this oral health in your cat and dog on a daily or regular basis. If you're noticing bad breath, that's a clear sign of gingivitis and periodontitis. Excessive drooling is a sign of pain. Pawing at the mouth, redness of the gum. Blood left behind, like on their toys or bones or something they've been chewing on, you'll see a little red color. A change in eating
habits.
Yeah,
and that's pretty normal if it's a puppy losing teeth,
but it's
not normal if it's not. So you kind of have to think about the age of your dog, too. You know, I had two situations recently. I thought my 13-year-old standard poodle did need dental because his breath didn't smell good to me anymore. Took him to the vet, and he doesn't. He's just smelling like an old dog, right? But I could smell that it wasn't quite like, you know, he used to. So I took him in right away. Another dog, his son, who's only 6, last year, he smelled great. I had no idea that only one of his teeth, all the rest were pearly white and beautiful, but for some reason, one of his teeth had a real problem. And he wasn't showing any signs. He was still eating. He was still everything. So it's a good thing I had him in for his usual exam, and they spotted it. And the plaque growing on that tooth happened to be white. So it was a back molar, and it was totally white. And you just, only a vet is going to spot that, I think. You know, fortunately for me, they cleaned it right off there, and now he's got all perfect teeth again. But there was no odor. So sometimes it can really trick you. You want to make sure you're looking and you're smelling and you're noticing if your dog or cat isn't eating properly. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes you notice, I had a poodle once eating only on one side of her face.
Yeah.
And occasionally she would yelp when she was chewing on a toy. And she had a little tiny tumor on her gum line. She was a guest of mine. And they were able to figure it out. And it was nothing. I mean, they popped it off, nothing. The dog's better. But you want to know quick, right?
That's right. Because that toxicity can spread so quickly into an infection or an abscess. And, you know, actually, you know, can cause death. And people don't take the mouth as seriously. Even our human mouth, same thing. You know. And one of the things you were mentioning about eating, they might eat off to one side or they may stop eating. They don't want their face to be touched. Maybe there's some swelling in their cheeks or some draining. Even sneezy, runny noses can be a sign of, you know, a dental problem. So, you're looking in there, get your hands in there, get your eyeballs in there at least once a week. Check.
What about a toothbrush? Do they get a toothbrush in there? Toothbrush with some pet toothpaste, too, and squish it all around?
Well, and you know, and I know, a lot of people and many of my dogs do not like a toothbrush. So there's a couple of things out there that are really cool now. First of all, make sure you're only using a toothbrush made for either a pet or a child's toothpaste is small enough to get in there without, you know, damaging anything. Never, never, never use human toothpaste. Use what is made for pets because we have ingredients that are toxic to our animals in our toothpaste. They're actually now you can take, if they don't like that brush going in their mouth, you can take, there's a little finger rubber toothbrush that you can stick over the top of your finger and put some gel on there and just get in there with your finger. It's no bigger than your finger and rub around.
You know
around.
What, though? I have to give a caution with that one because especially with teething puppies, they will chew it. And so at first it doesn't matter. They're hardly strong enough to hurt you. But later there will be one time, just like when a mom's breastfeeding and there's one time where she screams, you know, one time the dog or the puppy is going to bite right on your finger. So yeah. If you're dealing with a dog with big grown teeth and it's not used to any of this, it doesn't automatically know your finger's inside there. Okay.
Right.
So you might want to not do that, or you might want to make sure it knows first because they'll just bite innocently thinking it's food if they've never had their teeth brushed before.
This
so be
true.
Careful
now,
on that.
Another one that works great for that, so they don't think that little rubbery feeling is a toy, is a piece of gauze you can wrap around your finger or a baby washcloth. When I give my dogs a bath, I get that little baby washcloth around my finger, and I get in there and rub their teeth. If you don't want to get in their mouth and your dog just won't have it, there's now gels and liquids you can put right in the water bowls that at least clean off the topical, you know, a residue before it gets down under the gum.
Okay, so what do you think, Becky, about the products they sell? They show them on TV, you know, your child won't beg to have you brush his teeth, and they show this child, and then they show the dog turning circles, jumping up and down for the greeny toy or the greeny chew toy or chewy edible thing that's shaped like a toothbrush that they're trying to tell us is as good as toothbrushing. Is it?
Well, there's a lot of controversy out there and has been for many years regarding products that promote a dental care food or treat. I can tell you right off the top from all the science and research, none of these help below the gum line, and that's where your main problem starts. You can wear off, you know, whether it's bones or chews or dental treats or these dental care food that they say there's stuff in the food to keep their teeth clean. I'm not going to say no, they don't work, but I'm not going to count on them, nor do I use them with my own pets. There's just been too many recalls on these kind of items, and they could help clean that first surface, you know, as plaque begins to build. But a nice, soft, chew toy, you know, not hard, not rigid, not spiky, you know, but some kind of soft chew toy can actually clean that plaque better than most of the products that they're trying to sell you out there that is cleaning their teeth. Remember, the only thing you can do personally or any of these products can do personally is clean topically above the gum line when the plaque begins and turns into tartar, and that's where you come in and want to get a grip on that, no matter how you do it. So I don't want to say no, I don't think they work. I think they have a purpose and a plan, but they don't cover the basis. Does that
okay.
sound good?
Yes. We're talking with Becky Starr from, she's from Redstone Media Group, which, I give you all the magazines, Animal Feline Wellness, Equine Wellness, the IVC Journal, Canadian Dogs, I like that one, and the AHVMA Journal. So if you want a subscription to one of those and you're a listener from the show, you can go to my website or you can go to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and sign up because Becky's been very generous with us. You'll get a year's subscription and you don't have to pay a thing just for listening to the show. So that's very nice, Becky. Okay, so the teeth. Now, I know you touched on it earlier, but I do think people think, you know, I even saw a comedian on TV making a joke about this, that his vet told him he was going to brush his dog's teeth, and he gave him a look like, you're kidding me, right? People think this is overdoing it and that dogs don't need it, but I know there's a connection between bad dental and heart problems in people and cancer in people. You see it when you're waiting at the dentist. There's all this stuff telling you, ask your dentist. Your dentist is helping prevent this, that, and the other. It's the same with animals. The blood goes from the mouth through the body, right? Can you explain that a little bit better about why? Besides, if you're not going to kiss your dog and you don't care that he has doggy breath, why should you care about his dental health?
Well, if you think of your mouth, right, and I'm sure many of you and have read about this, your mouth is the biggest carrier of bacteria in your whole body. It carries the most germs, the most toxicity, the most bacteria, the most prone for infection. It just, you know, it's a big toxic waste dump. And so anything, saliva travels, right? You swallow saliva, anything below your gum line, all of these are connected to nerves and blood vessels. And so it's just like when you get an infection in one arena, right? Whether it's on your finger or your mouth, your face, and that thing blows up, it explodes, it gets really big, it starts spreading, it turns red. Anything, bottom line, that goes into your body goes through the bloodstream. And so the mouth is the entrance door to the bloodstream. So that's why it can.
And you know what? When you think about your dog, he goes through life with his mouth. You know, very few humans do this. When I walk into a new room, I don't put my mouth on everything in there. I don't put my nose millimeters or you know, fractions of an inch from each new object I'm about to pick up or investigate. I don't sniff the pen before I pick it up. I don't lick the table. I don't run my face along the floor as I enter the room. But that's what your dog does, right? So
I'd love to see you do that, though, Deb.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, no. Put it in the producer's ear, and I'll have to do it for some gag or something. Yeah. No, but seriously, that is how your dog investigates. And then, of course, he comes over, and he smells your neck, and he nuzzles you because he remembers that got a good reaction. Then he gives you a big lick on the face. And then he's thirsty, so he goes off and drinks from the toilet. And, you know, now he comes back and gives you another kiss, maybe. I don't know, but you got to think about this stuff. Your dog puts his mouth places you wouldn't, too, right? So it's even more vulnerable.
Well, that, but I will give a heads up for our pets. They do have a chemical in their mouth and saliva much better than humans that does kill most of this because of that. They were designed, you know, to be able to protect themselves. And so they
can drink water. Yeah, so they can drink water we couldn't. And so sometimes people think that their saliva is actually healing. But if you have a wound yourself and you let your pet lick it, that's not a good plan. It will not heal it. It may be better than letting another human lick it, but it's still not a good plan.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be afraid of my dog's mouth or kissing me on the face or anything because they are much more sterile than we are as humans. They've been built in with that little device. But they still cannot clean their own teeth and keep their gums healthy and pull out one when it's cracked or it's misaligned or their bite's off. You know, it's up to us. So, you know, you can find out so much information of what works for you and what's best for your dog and your size dog. You know, YouTube has a lot of training videos, how to clean their teeth easiest. You know, there's all kinds of equipment.
It's actually not as difficult as people think, because once your dog realizes that he likes the taste of the toothpaste and it doesn't hurt, he actually gets quite cooperative. Like they treat it like, you know, you're a little strange, but okay, if this is how we eat this treat, okay, you know, and they actually look forward to it. They like to be touched. They don't mind their gums and teeth being touched once they figure out that it's going to taste good and they're going to get told how good they are. So you'll get a drooly cooperative dog. You might want to do it outside or with a towel, you know.
You will. And I think the biggest, for me, I've tried all different things. And most of my dogs do not like toothbrushes. It's this kind of awkward thing that they get in their mouth and they don't like the way it feels. So I have, you know, went to their side and I use a gel that I just stick on my finger and you rub it across their teeth and it goes and cleans all their gums. It takes literally 2 seconds just to rub this gel on their teeth and you leave it in there. Or you can do the one that's in a water bowl. Or, like I said, a gauze piece on my finger. But my dogs have never liked toothbrushes themselves, so I'm always envious of people who I watch them brush their dog's teeth and they open wide and they love it. So it really comes down to your dog and finding the right options to do it. And make it a day that you're brushing your teeth, brush your pet's teeth, you know, before you go to bed at night. It's just part of the routine of the home. This is going to keep your pets healthy and save you really, really huge vet dental bills.
I'm just thinking about this. If you do this with a toothbrush, make sure you label them correctly. Keep them in a different spot. We are not sharing. I know you love your animals out there, but do not share a toothbrush with your dog or your cat. Oh my goodness. I can just imagine what's going on at Betty Bye with the doggies dressed in their little Pomeranians and their little pajamas and little chihuahuas. Betty Bye, you know, but they will like toothbrushing. And I think if you were to try, just for the sake of it, to take a toothbrush and put something on it your dogs love, like, I don't know, bacon gravy or butter or meat or something, right? Peanut butter that's all natural so it's not got synthetics. Do that a couple times a day or a couple times a week for a while. I think you'll find they love toothbrush. Right?
It's, that's right.
It doesn't take that much.
They look forward to it.
Yeah. Then you introduce the toothpaste, which tastes like liver or something they want. Anyway, chicken, you know. And away you go. And again, don't mix up the toothpaste. That would be a startling morning for you when you brush your teeth with the chicken liver flavored toothpaste at 7 a.m.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Becky. We're going to have to go. We're done with our time here at Smart Animal
Thank
Talk,
All Buzz, so
Pet
much.
Talk Radio. Thank you, Becky. And everybody, if you want a subscription, you know where to go. And I'm at dubwolf.ca and Camp Good Dog on Facebook, as you know. So we'll be talking to you next week. If you do have information, if you think you bought a puppy or a dog in the last couple of years from Langley, British Columbia, or from the Vancouver area, if there was anything that leads you to think that you may have information that could help the SPCA with this latest puppy mill bust, then I would like to ask you to call 1-855-622-7722. They are looking for information. There have been two people already accused. The maximum penalty, as I said, is 5 years in jail, $75,000, lifetime ban on owning animals. But they know there's more than one farm, more than one adult, more than one family. They're trying to get all the information. The dogs involved, as I told you earlier, 32 adults, 34 puppies, all rescued. Old English sheepdogs, Bernese mountain dogs, standard and miniature poodles, soft-coated Wheaton terriers, and Portuguese water dogs. So if you bought one of those dogs or puppies in the last couple of years from this area of the world, Vancouver, BC, Canada, and you weren't allowed to meet the mom, or something seemed sketchy, or the dog arrived in poor health, if you bought a hybrid of one of those dogs, a fancy cross, then chances are you may have some information they need here at the local SPCA that's responsible now for taking care of all these animals and trying to proceed with charges, and they're hoping they get them all, because otherwise they just buy another farm and start all over again. So 1-855-622-7722 if you can help. Okay, everybody, until next week, from Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, from Becky Starr and me, Deb Wolf, be good to your animals. And anytime you're near.